Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right, I think we're live here. So, hello everyone. Once again, I think Heather is going to be out this week, so I'm going to be handling this solo. This week, we are going to be talking about manipulation and persuasion while you're trying to repair your relationship. Please comment if you can see me, hear me okay. I do sometimes have some tech issues, and as I'm doing this live, you know, I just want to know. And you know, just also comment if you feel like your spouse is being manipulative, or maybe perhaps there's been some complaints that you have been manipulative. Let me know. I do check out the comments as I am, you know, going through this live stream. So, like I said, what we're talking about some amount of manipulation. This is a big deal, especially when we have a situation where you're trying to repair a relationship and maybe the other partner is putting up a little bit of resistance. I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but before we go there, I do want to talk about the question that we put to the group. So we were asking you, what's the difference between manipulation and attraction? We asked this in a couple different Facebook groups and online. And a lot of people are saying that the difference is intent, the expectations. A lot of people are also talking about how the difference is about whether this is organic or whether it's like planned. And I do think very much that you guys are going in the right direction. A lot, I do think, has to do with intent and intended outcome here. And even when I went online, and because this is what I do when I try to look at these topics, I always go online and see what are other people saying. You know, I want to make sure that my own thinking is correct in these things. And so when I was looking online, that's a lot of like what was being said in other groups and by other experts. And I would have to agree. I think a lot of it has to do with intent. I also think that persuasion and manipulation are very, very closely related, and there can be a very fine line between the two of those. So, like I said, the reason for today's topic is we usually look into the community, comments within the community. Also, we look at our own clients and some of the things that our clients say, some of the things that their partners say. I do think that, you know, we have heard that some people claim that if your partner says that they want out, then there's not anything that you should do, then that you should be respecting their choices. We often hear that from the partners who want to leave. They say it's manipulation if you try to fix things. Others say that further trying to work on the relationship is a form of manipulation if they have said that they want to leave. So I really want to make this distinction and whether, you know, like clarify whether that's actually manipulation or whether that's something else. So I want to talk about that big, big difference between manipulation and simply trying to persuade your partner to build a better relationship along with you, you know, that persuasion piece, as well as like discussing some of the principles to keep in mind as you are trying to make sure that you're leaning on that healthy side, that persuasive side, rather than that manipulation side. So like I said, today, the two terms that I really want to get to is manipulation and persuasion. Like I think in some of the promo stuff, it was talking about attraction and so, but like, I think those are probably the best terms to use when we're discussing these two ideas. I do think both are actions to try and change someone else's actions. But I do think even though there's a very fine line, there is a big difference. And I'm just going to give you the answer right off the bat. Rather than beat around the bush, I'm going to give you the answer. What I think the big difference is. Manipulation is primarily about gaining advantage. or persuading someone to take action that will negatively impact the other person. So, you know, if you are, you know, if there's some amount of manipulation within your relationship, then someone is clearly having a better outcome or clearly having ending up with an advantage in that situation more so than the other person. Persuasion, on the other hand, is about mutual benefit and bringing someone to the realization of some truth. It's much more about cooperation. And I do think that can be a very fine line. Like, who knows whether there's going to be a negative outcome sometimes, or who knows what the intent of the other person is. So I do think in a lot of these cases, the story, the narrative that's built up around it can make a big difference. And I do think that these two definitions, like that, are you gaining advantage? Are you persuading someone to take action that will negatively impact them? Or the persuasions where there's more cooperation, more mutual benefit? Those two definitions should guide your actions while you are trying to repair a relationship. In fact, I think that, like, one of our cornerstones as I work with clients is this very, very idea here. Like, some of the things that we talk about a lot within the High Thrive programs are about, you know, making sure that we're keeping pressure low, that there's a lot of respect and consideration, that we're creating common goals. And we're going to get into a lot of that as we keep going today. But I always am of the opinion that we want to lean much more towards that persuasion side rather than manipulation. I hope that will be abundantly clear as to why, as we explain a little bit more, as I explain a little bit more. But how do we make sure that happens? Let's talk about the differences here first. Main differences, in my opinion. So manipulation tends to be a bit more covert, as in, you know, are you trying to change your partner without letting them know what it is that you're trying to work towards? I think that's probably a bit more manipulative, probably leaning towards some unhealthy areas. Now, sometimes I do work with clients and we might talk about, like, hey, do we make it clear that we are trying to work towards reconciliation? And sometimes I say, well, that's up to you. We may not share that, but I always talk about what the very specific immediate goal is that we're working towards. So even if the grander goal might be, say, reconciliation, we might be very clear with a smaller, more immediate goal of, say, let's say, like, building out better communication, or perhaps, you know, trying to co-parent well as a team. So let's see. So, like I said, manipulation tends to be a bit more covert. The manipulation, also the aim or intent, tends to be a bit more about control or benefit for self. Do you see, like, have you ever seen in your relationship where some person is much more concerned about what the outcome will be for them or what they are going to get out of it? And if they're trying to convince you of that sort of thing, that is a bit more of manipulation. The results for manipulation tend to end up more in a win-loss sort of scenario. Someone comes out on top, someone loses. And furthermore, there tends to be low amounts of consideration of the other person's choices. So the primary, like, things that we're looking at there is a lot of, like, intent and outcome. There's, like, this intent of, you know, like, benefit of self, and the outcome tends to be worse off for the other person with manipulation. Persuasion, on the other hand, tends to be a bit more open and honest, more direct, more straightforward, something that I really value when I'm encouraging communication with clients. Mark is asking whether being constantly being defensive can be a form of manipulation. And that's a good question. You know, like, we can see that there are forms of resistance, like defensiveness. And this is certainly not a healthy behavior. I know Gottman talks about defensiveness as one of those predictors of divorce, but it really depends on like what's going on internally and what the intended outcome is. So if it's defensiveness as a way to get someone to act in their benefit, like I'm not going to talk to you unless you do what I say, or I'm not going to, I'm not going to even consider what you have to say unless you do this thing for me, that would be more of a manipulation. Whereas simple defensiveness, where you're just defending your own actions, you're not considering the other person's side of the story, just straight up defensiveness, may not be manipulation in and of itself. Like I said, I think a lot has to do with the intent and what the general outcome of that defensiveness would be. That's why I'm going back to those principles, Mark. It's like those two things. So like if we were to take that defensive action that Mark was asking about and make it more persuasive, then the defensive person would be much more direct about what they're wanting, the open, honest. The defensive person might even, try and cooperate with the other partner. Like persuasion tends, the aim and intent is a lot more to improve the situation mutually and to cooperate to improve the situation overall. I do think that with persuasion results, if it's going to be like healthy persuasion, it's going to be, there's going to be more of a favorable outcome to all involved. And, if we're going to add in like that extra bit of respect, there's a clear choice involved. It has a lot of respect and consideration for the other person. So with Mark's question of like defensiveness, whether that's manipulation, I would find it difficult to find scenarios where there was like a very healthy persuasive defensiveness, if you get what I mean, because it's generally very hard to be very respectful, considerate, to negotiate and try to cooperate, to try to have a mutually beneficial outcome when there's defensiveness, because defensiveness is almost always like, I haven't done this wrong thing. You're the one that's done this, that's doing this terrible situation. Not a whole lot of consideration there. Not a lot of focus on the good things in the other person. So like I said before, like the two concepts are like, what is the intent and what is the general outcome? And we can see like the divide with manipulation and persuasion gets a little bit bigger here. So why am I talking about this? Why is it important to try and persuade rather than manipulate in repairing a relationship? I do think, I would love for all of you to answer this question. So I'm going to put it here in the comments, the question, why is it important to try and persuade rather than manipulate in repairing a relationship? So straight up, I'm going to tell you, manipulative tactics can be effective towards getting some change on the short term. Absolutely on the short term. Long-term manipulation, in my experience, tends to break relationships down. And generally, when you're on the receiving end of manipulation, the frequent comments that I hear is that this person feels unheard, they feel disrespected, they feel as though like they can't have an opinion, they can't make choices without it be upsetting, and it tends to not go very well. In my own marriage, now I'm going to, not to pat myself on the back, not or to say that I have this amazing relationship. I have a good relationship with my wife, Jennifer, but, I don't perceive that either of us are terribly manipulative in nature. Like a big cornerstone of our relationship is high amounts of consideration for each other. But I will say that in terms of like my own experience in communicating clear requests versus having manipulative requests, it just feels very different. Like I can recognize in myself small forms of manipulation. And if my wife watches this, she'll probably chuckle and roll her eyes a little bit. But there's occasions where, say, for instance, I'm not feeling especially well, and I might ham it up a little bit in order to get a little bit more care from my wife. Is that manipulative? I would absolutely say that's a little bit manipulative. But I will say at the same time, one of the things that we work on, my Jennifer and I, is being very clear and open with requests that we have. And I would say that she appreciates it so much more. Like if I'm in that same scenario and I say, hey, I'm not feeling well, and I'd really appreciate if you can take care of this or this for me, it would really help me feel loved. That's a scenario where my wife is like glad to give me that kind of support, and it, you know, and vice versa. It creates a lot of respect and a lot of care. It helps us to really understand how we can each feel supported and loved, and overall just creates so much of a better loving environment. So Donna's asking a question here. She says, my ex will send texts, I'll reply and support, then I'll ask a question or tell him what I'm doing in life, and he picks and chooses to answer. Is that defensive or manipulation or something else? Donna, that sounds a little bit like something else. I'm not sure. And like we're talking about here, there's a, like, what's the intent? What's the outcome? I would say that, you know, in your situation, that's a little bit more what I would call stonewalling. You know, the stonewalling is presenting just like basically nothing in response. And it's a way to protect you. Yeah. As, like Leanne is saying, like Mark is protecting, it's like the earlier comment. But yeah, for Donna's thing, I do think that's a bit more stonewalling if we're having to label it as something. But yeah, in terms of why it's important to try and persuade rather than manipulate, my example there, you know, in my own marriage, while my wife and I aren't trying to like patch everything, we're not at this like critical state or anything, but the same sort of feelings apply whether you're repairing or whether you're trying to maintain or build up a relationship, is that in general that more persuasive approach tends to feel healthier for all involved, tends to be viewed as more healthy, tends to you tend to get less resistance. You tend to get more cooperation when all those, when that respect, that consideration, when there's like a mutually beneficial goal, when those are all involved. And that's why, like, I really try to push for those things and why I get nitpicky with some of my clients and some of their communication. I say, hey, don't say it this way. That's a bit manipulative. Or try to do it this way so that they feel like they're making that choice with you. Yeah. So the next, so that's why it's important. It feels different when you're trying to repair. So then, like, what do we do if there is a lot of resistance? How can you persuade your spouse to work on a marriage when they have stated that they don't want to work on that anymore? Like, how do we really amp up that persuasion rather than the manipulation? And Donna, your comment is spot on. Persuasion is a lot more respectful, a lot more considerate. Like, we are considering the experience of the other person. Absolutely right, Donna. So if there is a lot of resistance, it may be easy to see trying to work on the marriage when your partner is done as manipulative. I've seen that comment a lot. It's often easier to start by repairing smaller problems first, things that your partner agrees, that things that need to be fixed regardless. And this is often how we get the ball rolling. It's less manipulative, more persuasive, you know, when we are saying, hey, let's not focus on fixing the bigger picture here, or let's not focus on fixing the marriage. Let's start by reducing fights. Let's start by making it okay for us to be around each other in the same space. Let's work on communication as we are trying to co-parent well. And this is often like where it becomes a lot easier to get that cooperation, and you can be a lot more persuasive, especially if you are selling on some things that they want themselves. Adonis is asking, how do we persuade when we don't know their story? If they're cordial and then cold, they're helpful, but then want to be completely done. And that's a good question. We talk about the narrative and story a lot in the podcasts and when I work with clients, and that back and forth can be really confusing. If we're talking about this in terms of manipulation versus persuasion and how do we persuade them to start working on some things, then we need to figure out, in Adonis's case, like we need to figure out like what it is that, you know, like what your partner is wanting here, like even on a basic level. They might say, you might say, well, what do you want? And they might say, I'm done and I don't want this anymore. That's what they don't want. And they might be talking about like the bigger picture, that bigger relationship sort of thing. But that usually doesn't explain a lot of that cold behavior, that really distant or angry behavior, a lot of those emotional reactions. Oftentimes, even as things are pulling further apart, there are things that your partner may be wanting from your interactions. And this is where we can start to build up that persuasive sort of platform there, where you say, hey, look, I can see that you're upset, and I can see that this is really hard for you, and I can see that this isn't what you want. And I would actually want to work with you to settle at least some of these small things. We don't need to worry about the bigger picture here. You've told me that you're done, and I'm not going to like push you too much on that. But well, how about we settle these smaller things? Now, we want to keep in mind the principles of manipulation versus persuasion. It is better to focus on changes that are going to be mutually beneficial and to be clear what you were trying to improve. Remember, we were talking about like, hey, it's better to be open and honest rather than covert. It's better to be working towards something that is favorable to all involved rather than something that's going to, like, if you go in and say, hey, look, work on reconciliation with me, they're going to see that as this win-loss scenario. Like they're going to say, oh, I'm coming back just to experience the same problems that I always have been. And they're going to see that as manipulation. That's why, you know, with our clients, we sometimes get those comments where they're saying our client is trying to manipulate. And we have to say, oh, it's probably because they're seeing what you're trying to work on there as this win-loss scenario, as the situation that they are going to lose out on. So by creating those common goals or focusing on improvements that will benefit both of you, regardless of what the overall overarching outcome is wanted, you know, like regardless of what happens, you can often gently persuade your partner to start reconsidering those smaller things and then later on some bigger things. I've seen time and time again where we start working on communication, like making sure that you can, my client and their partner can be around each other. Then that opens up a lot of like what the story is. And so then we can start persuading them to work on some other issues that are more immediate. And then the ball gets rolling as we start saying, okay, changes are happening and you're listening to me. And like, yeah, maybe I don't want to reconcile it completely, but this is feeling better. And this is how we get the ball rolling in a lot of cases. You know, I want to make sure that I'm clear with all of this. And so like, I want to talk about some experiences that I've seen that are really spell out the difference between persuasion and manipulation. So I can recall a client that I worked with. She had a husband who had, essentially, it was an emotionally abusive husband. There were multiple affairs. He was frequently blaming her for his actions and describing her very negatively. like saying that, like, if she wasn't being such a disgusting person, and so on and so forth. Basically, you know, he was complaining to my client that she isn't, you know, like one of the other big things is he was complaining that to my client that because she wasn't being forgiving, she was being disgusting while he was not addressing his own behavior. This was manipulation. So here is the husband who just wanted, you know, like when he was done with affair, he wanted to come home and he wanted his wife to attend to him and to be that loving wife, and was getting very upset when she wasn't being that loving, forgiving wife, even though he had committed multiple affairs. The intent was to have some benefit for himself without consideration of how it was impacting my client. In this case, you know, I did work with her on trying to fix some things, but ultimately we had to discuss a lot about setting boundaries and how to be healthy for herself and how to talk to her husband so that he actually listened. And eventually she made the decision herself that that wasn't a healthy situation for her. You know, the manipulation was enough that she decided to end it herself. That was very clear manipulation. You know, I even see like small little moments of manipulation in other cases. Like, and almost always the theme is like that intent of having, you know, like gaining some benefit without consideration of how it impacts the other person. Like even within our own families, you know, sometimes we ourselves or even our children can be a little bit manipulative, right? There's small moments of manipulation from children and their requests, even if that's not like the way that they're thinking about it. But always, like, always when I'm trying to think of like that big difference between manipulation and persuasion, I keep going back, you know, like to the most familiar relationship I have with that with my wife. I can recall, you know, when I was down, I was feeling really depressed many years ago, and I was between jobs and really having a rough time, and my wife was wanting things to improve. So a lot of like what she talked about was very much about like seeing my potential and seeing what, like, all the things that I could offer. And it was a lot of persuasion to try and get me to start this very business right here. I could very easily have seen that as manipulation, but, you know, if I look back, a lot of the language was very supportive. It was very encouraging. It was very positive. And so it was very easy to see that the intent was for my benefit. Even though, like, in, you know, like many people might see something like that as manipulative, if you keep going on, and I'll admit, I put up some resistance. I had a lot of doubt in myself, and I didn't exactly want to take this big leap in starting a business. But I'm trying to illustrate the difference between that persuasion and manipulation, and very much I can recognize that it wasn't so much that she was going to benefit. It was a lot of consideration for what would be good for me, even though that I was putting up some resistance there. And that's a lot of how I make it make sense with a lot of the situations that I deal with. There are a lot of people, a lot of clients who have partners that are really hurting, and they may not see how things could be better, but I really help support my clients in creating that persuasive stance there, creating that situation where it's very clear that it's beneficial, that the intent is to benefit the partner that's wanting to leave. And I think by leaning much more into that persuasive stance rather than that manipulation stance, it creates a much more, it creates a place where when things do work out, it's much more healthy and the person is more enthusiastic about participating. Quote I really like in terms of like manipulation and persuasion, your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. And I think that that principle applies here. And I think that when your partner sees that, how abundantly you are placing their interest first when trying to convince them to work through things, when they can recognize that, I think it tends to really start getting things going in a much better direction. Donna saying, yeah, I like healthy communication rather than stonewalling or lack of answers. Even if we are divorced, I want to support him, acknowledge his challenges, plus influence him with positivity to help his beliefs change from his negative narrative. To see that I'm a safe place for him, it's tough work. And you're right, Donna, it is tough. And Adonis is right in that this is a reoccurring theme with a lot of the people and this audience here. It's hard to create, and like Adonis says, it's hard to create that safety and trust, and that safety and trust is key. And that's why I came to this topic today. Leaning much more towards that persuasion really helps build that sense of safety and trust. And so if you can remember that as you were trying to persuade, as you're trying to convince your partner for some change, I think you'll come out a lot better, or at least it will feel a lot healthier in the end. All right. I do want to put the other questions here into the chat. I forgot to do that while I was doing this. Let's see. Oh, actually, it was just the one. Anyways, if you have more comments, more questions, let us know. As you saw, I was reading the comments here as I was doing the live stream. I always like to have a bit of a conversation when I'm doing this. And I do check the comments, you know, I give it a little bit of time and I come back to it. So if you have some questions, let us know. I'd love to give some support. With that, thank you all for listening, and hopefully we'll have Heather back here next week, and I'll catch you all then.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.